Welcome to the latest edition of the Original 11. My name is Craig Saxon, and on today's show, we will talk to Tiger Besh, the sophomore wide receiver for the Princeton football team, who has really kind of broken out over the last 3 weeks as part of this record-setting offense. And we'll talk to Ben Ellis, a senior starting safety in his first year as a starter, second on the team in tackles, having a great first year as a starter and a big part of this defense moving forward. We'll also have Cody Kruschel on the show to look back a little bit about the Yale game, talk about the season that Chad Kanoff and Jesper Horsted are having, and then look ahead to Saturday's season finale. A quick reminder, you can subscribe to the Princeton Podcast Network, get the Original 11, the New Court Report, Blackscast, Tigercast, basically anything that comes out of the Princeton Athletics Podcast Network directly to your phone or you know, preferred podcast device. Search Princeton IMG and you'll be able to subscribe to the network. Okay, let's get to our show. One more for this regular season. We'd love to see Princeton, after three straight heartbreakers, get this one, finish off with a winning record, send these seniors out. Certainly that's a big goal for our first guest. Let's hear now from Tiger Besh. Tiger, obviously plenty to talk about with Dartmouth this weekend, but I kind of want to go through your season and the season for this offense. And, you know, for you, was there a point in time, and maybe it was even the preseason, where you felt like this offense and specifically this pass game could be something really special?
Yeah, so in the beginning of the season, in the spring last year, Jesper, he plays baseball. So in the spring, we didn't have Jesper, and Steve Carlson, I don't think he traveled much his sophomore year. So I remember Coach Goldman, and, you know, people thought that we had a lot of question marks at receiver coming into this season. And then, you know, we had Chad coming back, and he was primed for a great year. But anyways, Steve and Jesper really come out of their shell this year. And I've seen a good bit of playing time myself, more than last year. So it's just really cool to be, you know, part of the offense and watch everybody grow and make a lot of catches, a lot of great plays. Jesper is having a freakish season. Steve's having a great year. So yeah, it's really cool to be a part of, a really explosive offense, and Coach Gleason's doing a great job calling a bunch of great plays, getting the ball in really good players' hands. So, it's been cool.
Yeah. I know you had some, you know, illness issues last year that cost you the second half of the season. But, you know, with the speed of this offense, do you really need a full year in it to be comfortable, you know, on a play-to-play basis? And because you did play the first half of the season, how much more either comfortable or intuitive in the offense do you feel this season?
That's actually a great question, because, last year as a freshman, the game was so fast. Whenever I stepped on the field for the first time since high school, the speed of the game, like everybody on the field was just like a great player. And everybody was running around so fast. The ball was coming in hot. It was really a big shock. Actually, like my first play, the first play I've ever played in college, we was against Lafayette. And I ran like a post across the middle, and the ball was coming, and I saw the safety coming across the other side. So I got a little scared and dropped the pass, and it was just kind of like a shock at like, I didn't think the game would be that fast, but having a second year under my belt, playing with Chad and all these guys and Coach Gleason and practicing as hard as we practice, the game's actually slowed down quite a bit, and it's definitely helped me like be able to function better in our offense and be a more productive player overall.
Let's talk a little bit about Chad, because the numbers he's putting up this season are historic. As a receiver, what is it like, whether either a trust thing or knowing you're going to run a route, and if you're open, the ball's going to be in the right spot, because it seems like it just has been all year.
Yeah, so I've said this before, but if we're at practice or if like we're in the game, for the most part, if you're running a route and you don't put your hands up, the ball is probably going to hit you in the face mask. He just puts the ball right where it needs to be at least 80 to 90% of the time. And his completion percentage, I know, is absolutely ridiculous this year. Chad really is doing an amazing job. And some days, like, you kind of take that for granted. And then will be out at practice and he'll just make this like incredible throw. And you'd be like, wow, like that's like a big time throw. Like not very many people can make that kind of throw.
It does seem like you have developed a comfort with him, especially in 2 minute drills. I mean, you had big catches on the late drives against Cornell and Penn. And then obviously you had the deep touchdown pass last weekend. Have you felt something, you know, even as recently as the last 2 or 3 weeks where either you're finding your role or is it just kind of the way defenses are, you know, maybe staying outside with Jesper and Carlson that you're finding a little more open room?
Yeah, that's actually exactly what happens. A lot of times teams will bracket Jesper, either Jesper or Carlson, I guess, depending on field position, et cetera. But yeah, so usually whenever we go in a 2 minute drill, a lot of the attention is on Steve and Jesper. So it usually leaves me covered up with one guy in man coverage. So I'm able to, you know, make one guy miss, and then I'm sitting somewhere in the middle of the field, or whether it be like on a corner route. So yeah, you know, my role in 2 minute drill is actually pretty big because of all the pressure that Jesper and Steve take off of myself. So that's been 2 minute drill is actually like my favorite part of every game. We kind of, towards the end of some games, we kind of hope team score. So we get the ball back with like a minute, 13 seconds, and we can put together something quick and get down the field.
Yeah, that's, the like other,
that's probably our best skill is 2 minute offense.
You have moved the ball. Terrific. The other role you've had, you know, this year is in the return game. And, you know, the kickoff returns with the new Ivy rule, you went about, it seemed like 3 weeks without returning anything. And last weekend, you finally got a couple chances. You could tell. I mean, I felt like anything within 2 yards of the end zone, you were taking out. But how much do you enjoy that role?
That's actually one of my favorite things to do. In high school, I didn't return kicks. I just returned punts. So then getting here this year and having that opportunity, it's really been fun. And it's also fun to like be a part of that unit. Because, you know, whenever I play strictly offense, I don't really get to interact much with the defensive unit. And so whenever we're on kick returns and stuff, there's a lot of like linebackers and stuff on our team. So it's really cool to like have that bond with those guys. And then also, you know, starting it's, you know, whenever I get on the field, like I hear people yelling my name, it's like, this is like the first step of our drive. And like, I feel a lot of responsibility in like making a good return and getting our team in good field position to, you know, be successful on the next drive.
You look at Saturday's game and it's a Dartmouth defense that has done a pretty good job all year, kind of keeping teams out of the end zone. You know, defensively, they haven't given up many yards. They've typically been very strong up front. But when you've looked at film, you know, what has stood out about this group?
Well, they play a very high percentage of zone coverage, and they play a lot of 3 and 4 down fronts. They show average numbers of pressures and blitzes, but what's really striking is they play somewhere around, you know, 80 or 85% zone coverage. I think it actually is 85% zone coverage. So that's going to – I think Chad's going to have a really good week completion percentage-wise. We won't necessarily have, you know – 80-yard touchdowns. Well, I'm sure we will. I mean, we have Steven Jester, so they'll do something. But we'll make a lot of short yards completions, kind of like eating little chunks away and working our way down the field, you know, step by step. So that's kind of what we think is going to happen.
You know, you have 2 years left. You've plenty of teammates with more time. So we can talk about the future of the program at another time. But, you know, how important is it for you to make sure that these seniors who have gone through, you know, 3 really tough games to get that one more victory and one more celebratory bus ride home?
It actually means a lot to us. This week is not our last week. This week is our best week. So we're attacking every practice with a full head of steam, knowing that this is not going to be, you know, we're not going to have next week to go again. So, you know, putting every last bit of effort in for our seniors, leaving everything out on the field is definitely important to us. I've made a bunch of really close bonds with the senior class, especially Chad. Chad kind of took me under his wing whenever I got here, and he's really helped me out a lot, and he's helped me on and off the field a good bit. So, you know, playing this last game for Chad and for the rest of the seniors is going to be it's definitely, you know, it's going to be a big, really cool moment for us.
Back with Cody Cruchel to look back at Saturday's Yale game and then the season finale against Dartmouth. And
You know, you look at some of the close losses that, that Princeton has had this year. That one on Saturday, I think you feel the best about the way Princeton played. You know, Yale is 8-1, playing for an outright title this year. That's a really good team with an incredible running back who's going to be a problem in this league for 3 years. And, you know, Princeton went toe-to-toe with them. I'm sure there are a couple of plays that you'd love to have back on both sides of the ball. But, I mean, that was a fun college football game to watch.
It was one of those games you just kind of tip your cap to Yale. Zane Dudek, 35 carries, 180 yards, 3 touchdowns. The Tigers actually held him well below his season average for yards per carry. So I guess a moral victory there. And, yeah, I mean, just a fun football game to watch. It felt like football weather. It was a chilly, windy day. And, you know, Yale's a really good team, and that's the reason they're going to have a chance to play for an outright title this weekend.
Yeah, and I don't want to turn this into the Zane Dudek podcast, but I thought the one stat that impressed me most, you know, and it probably has a little something to do with Princeton's issues up front defensively, but 35 carries, not one of them was he tackled for a loss. That's it tells you a little bit, obviously, about him and his ability to either break the early tackle or just kind of find the lanes quickly, but also the pressure that Princeton just hasn't been able to get up front over these last 2 or 3 weeks. And, you know, we've talked plenty about the issues that the Tigers have had with injuries. But moving into this weekend, you know, this is a Dartmouth team that doesn't have the star that Zane Dudek is, but is pretty balanced. And if you can keep it out of that 3rd-and-3 situation, which Princeton hasn't been able to do for 2 weeks, they didn't do it against Penn. They didn't do it, and they really didn't do it against the second half against Cornell. If they can keep Dartmouth out of that situation and make them a little more uncomfortable, they may finally be able to get off the field.
Yeah, I mean, the number that stuck out from Saturday was 40. 40 minutes and 5 seconds, that's how long Yale had the football. And,
it's
and
a
for
lot
the Bulldogs,
of time.
Yeah, they had it more than twice as long as the Tigers did, and that's going to wear down a defense that's just really out of healthy bodies. You know, they have backups out there, and then the guys that are out there have played well, but, you know, eventually you just run out of depth, and that's something we've seen exploited the last 3 weeks. And, you know, it comes down to getting those stops on third down. Yale was 10 of 19. That's over 50%. You know, the last 2 weeks on fourth down, Princeton hasn't made a stop. I think Penn and Yale combined 4 for 4 on fourth down, and if you get one or two of those stops, it's a different game, and Princeton's probably on the other side of it.
Yeah, one player that I think has really kind of made a name for himself, should be an All-Ivy player, has been Tom Johnson. We've talked about him, but 2 games over the last 3, 16 tackle efforts, and I've always thought that this defense is at its best when it's a little more balanced. It's not one guy making all of the plays, but this is where Princeton is right now, and Johnson has just left it on the field basically since the start of the season. But statistically, these have been some pretty mind-numbing numbers over the last 3 weeks. And that's somebody that, and I know there are others, you know, that we can talk about moving forward in the spring, but that is somebody that you feel really good about centering your 2018 defense around.
And he has been the center of the 2017 defense, and that certainly isn't by design. It was Mark Fassati, the senior, the vocal leader. You had Kurt Haluba out there. You had all these upperclassmen with a lot of experience. And, you know, Tom Johnson, he was a starter from day one, but they weren't expecting him to really take on that leadership role. And I think you talked to Steve Verbit about it last week or 2 weeks ago on the podcast. He has exceeded expectations. They knew he had the potential to be a good player. He's become a fantastic player, averaging almost 10 tackles a game, 3rd in the Ivy League heading into this weekend, and he's stepped up when the Tigers have needed someone to step up.
You go to the offensive side of the ball, and look, you can just look at the numbers, and they are incredible. You know, we started charting these record chases, I don't know, maybe around week 5, and I really never imagined it would get quite as close as it is right now. But, you know, Chad Kanoff has a chance to hit some really audacious marks, you know, things that we haven't seen since 1983, which, for the record, because I keep going back to 1983, that must have been a wild season for this team, because it's the total outlier. Almost every passing record for this team that Chad has gone after happened either in 1983 or in 2013, which was the Quinn Epperly, Roman Wilson year. But, you know, I remember at the beginning of the season, you know, a reporter asking about, you know, how far is he away from the career record at Princeton? And I just laughed. I laughed because there was no way he was getting to that level. You know, it was 3,300 yards, something like that. And here he is. He's 145 away from the single season record and 225 away from the career passing record. We talked about him, but, you know, let's talk about him again, because Knopf, especially over the last month, has been brilliant.
You put it in perspective in Princeton history, not only moving up the record books here at Princeton, moving up the record books in the Ivy League, and if he does anything close to what he did last week, which, you know, I mean, it was well over 400 yards, he's 382 yards shy of the Ivy League single-season passing record, and that was Jeff Matthews, who was chasing in a couple other categories. You know, really just a remarkable season, 337 yards per game over nine games.
Yeah, and you know, Princeton fans certainly remember what Matthews did, you know, early this decade. I mean, he won games single-handedly for the Big Red. And the fact that Knopf has been that kind of player for Princeton this season, you know, it's a testament to him. It's a testament to the way this offense has evolved, because really, you know, this has not been a deep passing offense for a while. And part of that, I'm sure, is going from James Perry to Sean Gleason. Part of that is, you know, you accentuate your strengths. And what are your strengths right now? Well, A, it's Chad Knopf, and B, it's receivers that can get downfield and break tackles. And that takes us to the other record breaker from last weekend, Jesper Horsted, who, you know, that 88-yard touchdown, that wasn't one where, you know, he catches it 60 yards down the field. That's a slant that he breaks a tackle, and two guys looked like they had an angle on him until they didn't, because he combines that physical, you know, tall, strong presence with, man, is he fast.
Yeah, you look at him. He's 6'4", 215 pounds, and outran multiple defensive backs from arguably the top defense in the league. That was something that was a lot of fun to watch. And then, you know, outside of him, I know we'll talk about Tiger Besh. You have Steven Carlson, who also has his eyes on that touchdown record. And
It's crazy that he could lose that record in 1 week.
It's unbelievable to a guy who coming into the season had two career catches, and then you throw Tiger Besh into the mix. A lot of credit to Chad Knopf, but the Tigers, you know, blessed with three wide receivers in the top five in the Ivy League.
Yeah, it's been really fun to watch. And, you know, this weekend, we will be watching records, I'm sure, a lot more than Chad and the rest of this offense will, because they want to win a game. You know, they want to go out with a victory and finish a winning season after these last three weeks. And, you know, to do so, I do think they're going to need a little bit more out of the run game than they've gotten over the last 2 weeks. You know, they're going to be able to throw the ball because they've thrown the ball every week. But this is a Dartmouth team that plays a lot of zone. Tiger Besh just talked about that on the previous interview. They're going to play a lot of zone. They're not going to give up the deep ball. They play those safeties back. And, you know, if Princeton's going to keep them at least remotely honest, you're going to have to get a little bit more out of Charlie Volker, out of Ryan Quigley, out of Colin Eady, just to keep a little balance and maybe to keep that clock moving a little bit.
That's really been the surprising thing, because the running backs have been relatively healthy. They're running behind an offensive line that's been relatively healthy, and they have a quarterback that's doing a little bit more than just keeping defenses honest. And, you know, the last couple of weeks, that's been the issue. 73 yards rushing last week, 97 the week before, 105 the week before, I believe. Each of those was a season low as we've progressed into week 10 now. But, you know, I mean, these are good running backs, and if you can get anything going on the ground game, there's no limit to what this offense can do.
Yeah, and certainly part of it has come down to, you know, options from the coaching staff. I mean, when you have a quarterback like this, you're going to throw as many times as possible. But still, I do think you're going to need to get greater balance. And it could be a challenge, because this is a good Dartmouth defense, and it's a defense that has always been really tough up front. And so even when Princeton had some really strong run games, this was one. I mean, I remember going to Hanover in 2011, you know, when Chuck DiBilio, who was, you know, the original brilliant freshman running back in this league, was going for the rushing mark, and Dartmouth was just too good, too strong up front. They kind of shut him down, and they've done that for several years now. I think that's going to be an interesting matchup. Everybody will be watching the pass game, but I think if Princeton can establish any sort of rhythm early in the run game, that could play a big role in it.
And this is a really tough defense to run against. Second in the Ivy League, top 15 in the nation at the FCS level, allowing under 100 yards per game. And not only are they big up front, you look at their front three in this 3-4, or whatever they call it, 6'5", 285, 6'3", 290, 6'3", 285. And they have the depth and the experience to keep them fresh out there. They have backups who have 2 and 3 sacks and, you know, backup linebackers who have picked off passes. This is, you know, it's not, there's no real one star. We've talked about guys the past few weeks. You know, you can, you know, Opplinger with Yale and a couple of guys with Penn. There's no real star on defense. There's no real star on offense. This is just a really good balanced Dartmouth football team.
And it's a team that at least right now is in Ivy title contention. Now, you know, maybe Yale scores 21 points in the first quarter against Harvard, and it looks like even by kickoff that's over. But, you know, Princeton has a role, has an opportunity to play spoiler. And you know, you want to go out with a win. And if you can knock off somebody's Ivy title chances in the same move, you know, hey, all the more fun. It's a 1:30 start on Saturday on the Ivy League Network. You can listen to it on the TuneIn app. Myself and Cody Cruchel, one more time on the road this season, and then, you know, a little bit of a break, and we start looking ahead to what I think could be a really fun 2018 season. Somebody who will be a big part of that, especially on the defensive side, has been one of Princeton's real standout newcomers on this defense. Junior starting at safety. He's played all 10 games this year. I think he'll be a key force on the unit next year. Let's hear now from Ben Ellis.
Ben, before we get to Saturday and you know, final game of the season, let's just kind of look at your season. It's such a big jump kind of going from, you know, a member of the rotation to the guy, especially at a position that had so much youth in that whole kind of defensive backfield area. So start with just kind of you. Where did you feel like your biggest growth came this season, and maybe what was the biggest surprise once you were playing a full game that you kind of had to adjust to?
You know, I think my biggest growth is just being, growing into that leadership position. I had a bunch of guys before me, Dorian and Sam Huffman, who were, great at getting us in the right call and making all the checks and, getting us in the right defense. And I think that's probably the area where I've grown the most, from last year to this year, because last year I was more part of the rotation, but not really the one out there being assertive with the calls. And I think I made a big step forward this year, stepping into that role and doing that.
Was there a point in the season where you felt like, okay, you know, I'm comfortable, I belong here, you know, I understand the defense and know what needs to be done, like, I belong as a starter in this league?
Yeah, well, I think as a player, you always have that belief, no matter whether you're, you know, freshman or junior or starter or not. So, I mean, there's never really a point where I thought I, you know, didn't belong out there as a starter. But I think definitely there's some areas to grow after the first few games. As a starter, there's situations that come up in a game that, you know, you haven't seen before or been a part of, and you got to work through those. But then once you have a few starts under your belt, you see those situations again, and you can adjust to them, and you kind of know what to expect.
You know, I know you're focused on your own development, but, you know, Princeton fans had the chance to watch, you know, a big part of the future of the program in some of these freshman cornerbacks. You know, obviously C.J. Wall started every game. Trevor Forbes started every game as the nickel. We saw DeLon Stallworth. We saw Sultan Shabazz. You know, we haven't even really seen Matt Winston because of preseason injuries. But How impressed have you been with those guys and their development this year?
I've been really impressed. You know, we knew before the season that we were kind of thin in the defensive backfield, and we needed freshmen to step up and play big roles. And so seeing the early success that those guys have had has been really encouraging going forward. And especially since we have a young backfield in general, pretty much across the board. That's been really encouraging, and we've been trying to help those guys along as much as we can, but those guys are taking to it, and they're highly competitive, and they're working every day, and we're really excited about them going forward too.
You know, you guys have obviously faced three really tough finishes over the last 3 weeks, and you know, it's a lot of times you can kind of see, especially towards the end of a season, how a team handles those moments and bounces back. And, you know, what have you learned about your team? Or maybe you didn't learn it, maybe you knew it, but what have you seen about your team and resilience and things like that as you kind of have, because you've played, last weekend you're playing a team that right, you know, leads the Ivy League by itself, and that's a game you're in the whole way. You know, what have you seen about this team's resiliency that, you know, I assume has made you proud?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is it's really brought out, you can tell this team just loves to play and has a passion for playing. And, even though we've lost a couple of close games, it doesn't affect our preparation, it doesn't affect our attitude at practice or how we go about things, how we work. And, you know, that's one of the biggest things I've been encouraged about and proud of. Is just, I think the team fights no matter. We got a lot of injuries on the D-line. No matter what the situation is, we've been coming out and working and not letting that get to us, and just going about practice and our preparation the way we would do, if we were 9-0 right now.
Let's look ahead to Saturday. You face a Dartmouth offense, and I think to a degree that, you know, your own quarterback has skewed what looks like a good season. But if you take him aside, Dartmouth, Jack Hennigan, the quarterback, has put together a pretty nice year, completing 63% of his passes, almost 2,000 yards, and really kind of spreads the offense around. You know, Hagedorn has been their top receiver, but you know, four or five guys with somewhere in the area of 20 catches. Does it look on film like it's an offense that really just wants to be balanced and wants to kind of just take what the opponents give them?
I think so. I think that's right. It's going to be a good challenge. Hennigan's one of the more experienced quarterbacks that we've faced. And anytime you go up to Dartmouth and face that team, it's a tough challenge. They have good backs, good veteran backs, and really good wide receivers. And so it's definitely going to be a challenge, just like every week. But definitely facing an experienced quarterback like this, an experienced backfield, it'll be a good challenge.
You know, you guys, you only get 10 games. Obviously, every one of them means something to you, you know, personally. But for this one, you know, one last weekend with these seniors and kind of especially the way the last 3 weeks has gone, how important is it to you just personally to give these seniors kind of that one last celebration, one last kind of fun bus ride home and put them out, give them a victory to leave on?
Hey, I mean, it's super important. It's on all of our minds. You know, we wanted to send them out with a win last week at Powers Field. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, but, that gives us even more motivation to send the seniors out on a good note this last game. You know, we only get 10 of these. You only get 40 in your career. So every one of them is special and every one of them is important, and especially with the relationships we've built with these seniors We definitely want to do everything we can, send them out on a good note and with a winning season.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Original 11. A reminder that Saturday's game is a 1:30 start at Dartmouth. It is streamed live on the Ivy League Network. You can also listen on 93.3 WPRB or on the Princeton TuneIn app. Search Princeton Tigers IMG. Thank you for listening to the Original 11.